If you would turn to Ephesians chapter 6, continuing in our series called Dressed to Kill. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. The Bible says this, it says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. All right? It says, verse 17, we're focusing in on this. It says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Father, I thank You for Your Word. I thank You, Father, that it brings life to us. There's not a book, there's not a seminar, there's not any other source that we can find life, that we can find direction and healing in our lives other than the Word of God. That living, active, breathing, moving, directive Word of God. And I thank You so much, Father, for our salvation. Lord, Your Word declares that it is a helmet that we are supposed to wear. And so, Father, Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus this morning that You would anoint this Word. I pray, Father, that You would speak to me, Father. Anoint me, God, to preach Your Word this morning. Open the hearts and ears of Your hearers today. Lord, let Your Word flow freely. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we've been talking about all kinds of different weaponry and armor that we put on as soldiers. And we've talked about the breastplate of righteousness. We've talked about the loin belt. We've talked about the shoes. We've talked about, now we're going into what the helmet is. The Bible says that it is the helmet of salvation. Now, the Roman soldier's helmet was a fascinating piece of armor. It was ornate, even more ornate than the breastplate was. Remember, I talked about how the breastplate had all these carvings, and it told you who you represented right across the chest. Well, a Roman soldier, whenever they were issued their helmets, they could go and have it put on there, what their name was, who they represented, their horses. All kinds of ornate stuff that was on it. Usually it was made out of bronze. This thing was heavy. It was heavy for a reason. You didn't walk around with your head this way and walk in this way, okay? So the helmet was sturdy. It was strong. It was beautiful. It was meant to be, whenever I play basketball, one of the things that I used to do was I tried to dunk every time I possibly could. When I was warming up, you know why I did that? To intimidate the other guys that were looking at me as they were warming up on the other side. It was intimidation. Now, sometimes I didn't make it, don't get me wrong. But what happened was I did everything I possibly could to intimidate the person that I was about to face in basketball. I can't dunk anymore. I got some poundage going on here, but I would use every single advantage I could. I'd use my elbows to put them back. I'd use my rear end to push them back so that I could get the ball. At every opportunity, I would push my weight around to show them it's going to be a very long game for them. You guys ever done that before? Yep. Some of you nodding your heads over there. You do that to your opponent to psych them out. Where? Right here. My dad, he and his best friend, his name is Mikey, they used to, after work, they would sneak off and they'd go play golf. My dad was a pretty good golfer, and Mikey, he just liked to go because Dad liked to go. Dad knew he was going to beat him, but on the way, he'd psych him out even before he got there. Mikey, whenever we would talk about Dad, one of the last stories he told me during my dad's, right before my dad's funeral, was they used to go play golf, and he said your dad would have me beat before I even got on the golf course because he kept messing with my head. And so as a believer, The Bible says that we are to put on the helmet of salvation. This thing was beautiful. It was ornate. It was intimidating as well, because we wanted to put it in the minds of our enemy, which we have one, our adversary is one, that to put him on notice that he is no longer allowed here and here. Amen? And so the helmet of salvation, because the reason why Paul put it like this and described the helmet as ornate and beautiful and had all kinds of inscriptions on it, and it was reflective, and some of them even had feathers coming out the top of it and horsehair that flowed down the back, and it was intimidating when you were side by side to the enemy. And so the reason why the Bible puts it this way is because God has given us His most beautiful, His most ornate, His most prized possession, and that is His Son Jesus, salvation. That is salvation, the salvation that cost Him everything, salvation that cost us everything. And what salvation does to us is it puts us in a right mind frame of who we are in Christ Jesus. For a long time, we have been struggling with who we are and what we have been placed on this earth to do. There's one thing I always say, and there's nothing more powerful on the face of the earth than a believer that knows why he's here. Amen? Because when you know why you're here and what you're doing here, what your purpose is, then no matter what comes your way, even though you may have a bad day and the enemy may step in and try to trip you up, you know in whom you shall believe. Amen? We know that our strength and our vision, our heart, and everything else belongs to Him. We know that we do not operate in our own strength and our own understanding, but we operate in His. The reason why Ron is able to weep before you is because he's operating not in his love, but he is operating in the Father's love. Amen? He is operating in a spirit that is not his own. And some of us maybe in this room may be operating in your own spirit, in your own understanding, in your own wisdom, in your own strength. But the Bible says that will run out. That will fade. That will break. There'll be an end to it. But if we honor the Lord and we put our trust and our faith in Him, then the Bible says that we'll be able to operate in a strength and a power and a love and a passion and compassion that is not our own. Amen? Salvation is a beautiful thing. So, one of the ways that the enemy is going to attack us, one of the ways that the enemy is going to wage war against us, is he's going to attack your mind. He's going to attack your mind. Now, Satan knows that your mind is the control center for your life. He knows that if he gets control of your thought life, he can then extend his influence to other areas in your life. He'll begin to say to you that if he can put those little thoughts into your mind that you're not good enough, your marriage is going to fail, you're not going to advance in your work, you're not smart enough, you're not pretty enough, you're not the right the size or shape, you're not this or that or the other. If the enemy can put that in your mind, he knows that once that is what is placed in your mind, that he can influence in other areas in your life, because he has made a control center at your mind that stretches out through the rest of your members. Amen? And so when that happens, when the enemy, when he establishes a beachhead in your mind, then he is able to go to and fro in your life, causing and wreaking havoc in your life, causing you to believe things that you would have never believed before. Now, the fact that Paul compared salvation to a helmet means that we must learn about our salvation and find out what all that includes. Inside and out. We need to make sure that we know it thoroughly. It's kind of like, how many of you guys got smartphones? Let's see them. I hope they're turned off. The ringer's turned off. I don't want to hear any like crazy noises and stuff like that, ringtones or whatever. iPhones or whatever other smartphone you have. If you look at this thing, It's kind of like your iPhone. You know, you look at it, it's a nice phone, but really it's not a phone, is it? It's so much more than a phone. It's kind of like having an iPhone and only using it as a phone. Only using it to call somebody. Not really going in and looking at the apps and figuring out what you can do with it. And Ron and I, when we were going down to Tennessee, he downloaded an app for gas to find the cheapest gas. And so as we drove, he put the app in, and then all of a sudden we started seeing where the cheapest gas was coming from. And you can keep up with people from around the world. You can email, you can text, you can actually, instead of just talking to them, you can FaceTime somebody and look and see if they're really listening to what you're saying. Like, we need that, right? But it's like having a smartphone, but only using it as a phone. And as the Word of God, we not only are supposed to read it, but we're supposed to devour it, study it, know what it says about us. Do you know the Word of God is specific to you? It's not a general word. It's specific to you and your situation, in your life. The Word of God is for you. Everybody say, the Word of God is for me. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's for you too. Read it. Study it. Hide that word in your heart. That's why the Bible says to study it, hide it in your heart, so that we would not sin against God. You know that worry, habitual worry, is a sin? Did you know that? A lot of people do. A lot of believers do not believe that. But that's why I said when I was praying earlier today that worry is a form of idolatry, because it raises itself up above God. It says that God is not able, He's not big enough, He's not infinite enough, He doesn't have enough strength or power or knowledge to see me through, so I'm going to worry. As if worrying can add one single second to your life. Amen? It adds gray hair to your life, I can tell you that. But it does not add anything else. That's why the Bible says that we are to take the helmet of salvation and put it on our head squarely, so that we can advance against the enemy. All right? Now, there are things in our lives that hinder us from following God and from believing the words of the Word of God. Those things are called strongholds. How many of you guys ever heard the word stronghold before? Strongholds are real. Let's look at 2 Corinthians. Chapter 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 4 and 5. It says, "For the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretensions that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Who takes captive? Who is it that takes captive? The Word of God says we do. Amen? It says we demolish arguments. The Bible says, "For the weapons that we fight with are not weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." Demolish strongholds. You know, when I think of demolish, I think of a big old wrecking ball. See these big wrecking balls, and they come up to a building. You ever see those commercials where they had this big crane, and they were about to throw this wrecking ball up against the building, and instead of a wrecking ball, it was a teddy bear, big teddy bear. You see that? I forget what commercial that was. But some of us are our wrecking balls look like that teddy bear. That teddy bear represents our own understanding. It represents our own strength and our own orneriness. Everybody say orneriness. I'm not going to tell you to turn to your neighbor and say ornery. I'm not going to do that. But sometimes we operate in our own orneriness. And so what we do is we come up to the enemy with our crane, and at the end of the rope we have this big soft teddy bear that we think is going to demolish this massive building. And we throw this thing up against this building time and time and time and time and time again. Every single day we come up against it.
And we use our own understanding, and we use our own strength, and this our lives are just being wrecked one after the other. But until we put on the right weaponry, until we put on the right weight, that big, massive ball that causes massive destruction, until we put that on and swing it up against that building, nothing's going to happen. That wrecking ball is part of our armor. We need to understand that we can pull down and we can demolish strongholds through the blood of Jesus, through the weaponry that He has given us, that we can say to that mountain, to be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it will be done unto us. You know what? I have enough audacity to believe that my problems and my situations are not bigger than God. Amen? I have enough audacity to get up and say, that is enough. I will no longer struggle in this part of my life again. And if you continue to have struggle with it, reach out to somebody. Amen? Don't reach out to someone that's struggling just like you are. Reach out to somebody that has something overflowing and pouring out so that you can get in and dip your hands into the water. Amen? Go to someone that can impart something into you instead of take away from you. Amen? If that means that you need to sever relationships in your life, then cut it out. Amen? If there's friendships in your life, if there's people at work that you're hanging around with or people that you've had in your life or whatever it is for a long period of time, and they do nothing but tear you down, get rid of that relationship. Amen? Cut it out of your life. Cut those things off that feed destruction in your life. Now, I know that's not amen preaching, but it's the truth. It's a truth that will set you free. Now, Paul said spiritual weapons are effective for pulling down strongholds. And the word strongholds is used to describe two things, a fortress and a prison. A fortress and a prison. Now you think about a fortress. You think about a fortress that has their walls are thick, their walls are high, so that they will not allow anyone to come in to keep them separated. A prison, on the other hand, does the opposite. It holds you inside and allows no one else in. And when you have a stronghold in your life, it tends to do those very things. It tends to do two things. Number one, we tend to build up high walls and wide and thick walls. So no matter how many times somebody tries to come and help us, they can't get through the walls that we have built. And then what we do when we have strongholds in our life too is that we not only fortify the outside, but we fortify the inside as well. So that we don't allow ourselves out, so that we don't put ourselves out there anymore, so that we don't get hurt. And so we make ourselves a prison so that we can't get out of it. That's what a stronghold is. And Paul is saying that he has given us weapons that are not of this world so that we can demolish strongholds in our life that either A, the enemy has brought into our life, or B, we have built by our own hands. And Paul is saying there is a way out of the stronghold. There is a way out of this destruction. There is a life that is free. There is a life that has purpose. There is a life that has healing in it. But you have to take the weaponry of the Word of God to demolish that stronghold. Amen? Don't allow just a teddy bear to hang up on the end of that crane and smash it up against the wall, because it will do no good. But the weapon that we are to take up is the Word of God, which is the helmet of salvation, and put it on our head and strap it on, because we're in a fight. You know, if a football player goes out and he puts his helmet on and he doesn't put a strap on, what happens when he gets hit once? Boom, pops off. But you put that helmet on, you put that chin strap on, and you button it not just once, but you button it twice, and it's going to stay on every time that you get hit. And you see, as a believer, you need to understand that we are in the army of God, and we are in a fight. And over these 5 weeks, I hope that you understand that. But also in these 5 weeks, I hope you come to understand and learn that we are the winner at the end of the day. Amen? But we have to, whenever we fight, we have to fight rightly. We can't just go in it haphazardly without knowing the Word, without knowing who we are in Christ, without knowing who our God is. Because if we engage the enemy on our own understanding and our own wisdom, we will go out like the seven sons of Sceva, bleeding and naked out of the city. Amen. And so what we need, by the way, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you have to look that up in Acts, all right? Read the book of Acts, it'll tell you. All right? But these men, what happened was is they saw the disciples operating under the power of the Holy Spirit. And what happened is these guys, these seven sons over here, they're wanting to do the same thing. They thought, man, this is cool, this is great, let's go do this thing without knowing who God is. And they would go up to these people and say, according to the God that Paul knows, we rebuke you. And the Bible says that the demons rose up in these guys and beat them up, bloody, and they ran them out of town. That's what happens when we operate under our own strength from a God that somebody else knows. No, we stand up in the face of adversity in the God that we know. And confident in our salvation, confident that knowing that we're born again, that we're righteous, that we are called of God, that we're children of God, that we're heirs and co-heirs with Christ Jesus. That does something to somebody. That causes you to walk differently. That causes you to talk differently. That causes you to operate in situations differently than anybody else. That's why the Bible calls us a peculiar people. Not weird, not strange, not flaky, but peculiar. Different. There's something different about you. Why aren't you falling apart? Why aren't you crying? Why aren't you beside yourself? Why aren't you not in your bed with the head, your covers pulled over your head? Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. Because greater is He that is in me than he that is in this world. Come on, church. Are you hearing me this morning? Greater is He that is in me than he that is in this world. And when we realize that, when we operate on that, when we have our weaponry and our armor on correctly, it causes us to engage the army, or the army of the devil, not in our own understanding and our own strength, but in all of His strength and all of His might. Amen? Because our weaponry is not of this world. Now, These walls don't just pop up overnight. Amen. These strongholds and fortresses are not built overnight. Prisons are not built overnight. These impregnable walls are not established overnight. It's through a period of time. So these lies don't just pop up overnight. Suppose a person permits wrong thinking and wrong believing to go unchallenged for hours, weeks, months, and days, and years in your life. Years and years later, you wonder, how in the world did I get here? Why am I struggling with this? Why do I feel so consumed by the stronghold in my life? We need to understand that it didn't just happen overnight. Happened because of one comment. Happened because of one small event. One open door. One lax moment. It happens whenever we're least expecting it. That's why we are to be watchmen on the wall in our families, in our personal life, to be watchful, to be waiting. Because the moment that you don't expect it, the enemy will come in like a flood. But the Bible says that He will raise up a standard against it. And if we don't know what that standard is, we can't stand. If we don't know what that standard is, how will we know that we will be able to overcome? And so when we put on the helmet of salvation, we understand that our God is faithful, that He is bigger than anything that we could ever face in this life, and that these impregnable walls that we've built up for ourselves in this prison that we have closed ourselves in can be demolished at His word. At His word, amen?
Now, so what needs to be done? First of all, there needs to be a rebuking. The Bible says that we have authority to rebuke the enemy. Now look, I don't go around looking for the enemy, all right? I don't get up out of my bed going, where's the devil? Let's get her going. I don't get up doing that. Ask Dana. I don't do that. Usually my hair is sideways. I don't know my left from my right when I first get up. So I don't get up going, let's get her done. We don't do that. But when the enemy comes at my door, he came to the wrong door. Because I will not stand for disorder in my home. I will not, you know, my mother called me the other day and she was crying. And I said, What's the matter? And she said, I found two lumps on my breast. And she was crying uncontrollably. And she said, I don't know what to do. I can't get a hold of doctors. She goes, I found a knot right here as well. And she said, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And I said, Mom, I want you to be quiet. I'm going to pray. And so she got quiet. I mean, she went from hysterical to quiet. And it was because of the authority of the Lord. It wasn't my authority. And I began to pray over her. When I prayed over her, peace came. And I told my mother, I said, Mom, if one day is for sure we're going to die, but I guarantee you it's not going to be from cancer. I said, because on my mother's side, cancer is common. And I told her, I said, I have taken authority over cancer in my family. I have cut that off. Not because of who I am, but because of who God is and because of what the Word says. See, I only want to operate in what the Word says. Amen? I only want to operate in what the authority of the Word tells me I can operate in. I don't want to go outside it. I don't want to try to bend it. I don't want to try to manipulate it. I only want to operate in the Word of God. Because that's where I have authority. Not because of me, but because of Him. Amen? And so we don't have to take this in our life. We don't have to take the status quo in our life. You don't have to take sickness in your life. You don't have to take disunity in your family. You don't have to take this stuff. We don't have to just cope and get by in life. Amen? We are to be a peculiar people, and peculiar means different. And different means that we are supposed to act differently. We're supposed to have the joy of the Lord when everybody else is down and out. We are supposed to be on the top, overcoming. Amen? Do we have those times of disappointment? Do we have those times of doubt and darkness in our life? Of course we do. But let me say this and listen to me clearly. It's just for a time. That's not where you live. Amen? We are not to stay here. We are not to roam around that mountain for 30 years trying to figure it out, because the Word of God has given it to us. He has given a way out. He has given us weaponry that we can tear down those walls. He has given us weaponry that at a moment, at His word, we can be healed. At His word, church, we can be transformed. At His word, our lives can be put back to better. Back together. Our minds can have a clarity of thought again. Amen? Through His word, through that helmet of salvation, it causes us to engage the enemy differently. Now, why did they have such strong helmets? You ever heard of a battle axe? Don't look back and forth here, all right? This is what it is. It's this short handle right there. It has a massive axe on the end of it. Husbands, don't look over. Don't do it, all right? Don't do it. Don't do it. All right? Trying to bring this thing home here. All right? Pay attention. All right? So it's this short thing. It's hand-to-hand combat. Okay? Now, we don't have that as much these days. We can use drones and everything else to kill the enemy these days. All in a little bitty room. But back then, they had to prepare for hand-to-hand combat.
And battle axes were just a norm. So the reason why they had these helmets that had a chin strap, and they also had it come that came down right here too, so that it was just your face visible. So that when they started swinging these things, they didn't lose their head. And some of us are running around in life and we've lost our head. And I'm not talking about our physical head. I'm talking about our head, who is the Father. We've lost sight of Him because of the cloud that's over our life, because the impregnable walls that we've built that not only went up, but covered us so that we can no longer see the sun. And then for whatever reason, we've gotten used to it. Our skin is pale. Our eyes are dim. Our strength is weak. And we're just barely a flicker of what once was. But the Bible says that we no longer have to live in those things. We no longer have to just stay in the darkness and call that status quo. There's nothing else better for me, so I might as well just stay here, what I know, and operate in what I know. No, the Bible says that we can rebuke the devil, that we can resist him. And the Bible says that he will flee from us. Amen? Secondly, we need to recognize our responsibility in the matter. We need to repent. Until we do these things, nothing will happen. See, repentance is not so it'll humiliate us. Repentance is so it'll establish us. Amen? You see, until we get sin out of our lives, we have a kink in our line. You ever had a water hose and it kinks all kinds of different places, and so you have to go and undo it so the water will flow? That's what sin is in our life. It's a natural cutoff for God's blessing and strength in our life. And until we rid ourselves of sin and repent, then we will not be able to engage the enemy when he needs to be engaged. Now, Romans 12:2 says this concerning a transformed mind. It says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed. Do not be conformed any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." It all starts with the renewing of your mind. You know, I wish there was... How many of you guys ever seen The Matrix before? Seen the first one? You take the red pill or the blue pill. I wish there was that kind of situation going on, where God would say, here's the red one or the blue one. Which one do you want? But sometimes we need to take up the Word of God and renew our minds ourselves. Amen? This thing isn't just hyper-spiritual. This thing is practical and biblical. Amen? I'm not too much into hyper-spiritual stuff, but I am into practical biblical stuff. And that is that we are to renew our minds. Do you know how long it takes sometimes to rid yourself of lies that have been placed there by your mom and your dad? By your family, wounds that have happened in your life that have helped form who you are? Do you know how long it takes? Sometimes it's all the time, it is an agonizing struggle. But if we renew our minds with the Word of God, then we'll begin to understand who our Father really is. If you never had a father in here in your life, you have a Father that cares for you, that is deeply invested in your life. He loves you with a passionate love, that cares for you, that loves you, that wants the best for you, that is capable and ready to give you everything that He has prepared for your life. But if you don't know how to get it, then you can't get it. Amen? And so it starts by the renewing of your mind. It starts by going, Father, what's going on in my mind is not right. I know I have value. I know that I was placed here for a reason. I know that someone told me I was an accident. I know what someone told me I wasn't worth too much. I know someone told me I'd never get to this place or I'd never do this with my life. I had a teacher one time. I saw her at a rodeo one time, and this was after I graduated from school, from college. And I said, hey, Miss So-and-so, and she looked at me and she goes, Jimmy McDonald. Well, I thought you'd be in prison. That was her words to me. I thought you'd be in prison. I told her, I said, you know, I never liked you very much. She goes, seriously, I mean, what are you up to? And I said, well, I just graduated from seminary. I'm an ordained minister. And she went, come again? And I said, well, I wasn't a dope dealer. I said, I don't know what I wasn't in a gang or nothing. I don't know what you're talking about. And she just said, I just thought you'd be in jail by now. And I said, you know what? I said, it's people like you that should not be teaching. And I said, good to see you. And I walked away. And you know what? And you know what? The thing is that, will I always remember those comments? Yes. Will it always be an illustration in my sermon? Mm-hmm. But you know what? It has no bearing on who I am in Christ. And what someone said about your life has no bearing on who you are in Christ Jesus. Amen? Because when you put on the breastplate of righteousness, when you put on the belt of truth, when you strap those shoes of peace on, when you put the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit in your hand, greater is He that is in you than he that is in this world. Amen? Amen. Amen. We are able to overcome, not by our own strength, but by His great sacrifice. His blood carries with it salvation in its wings. His blood saturates us. His blood sets us up in a new place. Amen? We no longer think like we used to. We no longer have the life that we used to have. It may take you a while to get out of that mindset, but you are born again and you are set free. Amen? I love the Word. Isn't it good? It brings life to the hearers. So how do we do all this? By knowing what the Bible tells us. By believing what the Word of God tells us. So we have to reprogram, reboot our minds. Sometimes we just have to take it like a computer and just wipe it clean and start all over again. It may take a little time. But greater is He that is in us than he that is in this world. Amen? As you faithfully meditate on the Word of God and allow it to work in through your life, your mind will be renewed. You will become so convinced of your salvation that your mind will be able to rest in God. No longer capable of being overcome by doubt and disbelief any longer. Being a strong believer and being a soldier in God's army also means that we got to know when we can't do it by ourselves. That's why we reach out with someone else that has the shield of faith to cover us. When we've dropped our sword, we need to ask someone to step in and help us fight. When the truth has evaded us, we need to step in with someone that'll speak the truth over our life. Amen. When we're starting to believe a lie. And you know when you start to believe a lie. You know when the Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, that's not right. That's not true. That's not right. But what do? We ignore it and go, I see that. I hear it. It's true. We need to listen to and obey the Spirit of God in our life. Amen. Call along beside believers of like faith who will put that shield over you. Who will put that breastplate of righteousness back on you, who will help square your helmet again and get you back up on your feet. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in this world. Amen. Let's all stand up this morning. I believe with all my heart, with all my might, with all my spirit that there's world changers in this room this morning. You just don't know it yet. You just don't know it yet. Some of you in this room, most of all of you in this room, don't realize the capability that you have in Christ Jesus to be an overcomer, to see God operate in your life that is beyond your imagination. It may not take you to Vietnam, but it may take you across town to somebody else. It may call you to stand for another brother or sister in Christ whom everybody else has given up on. To go over there and say, I see the potential in your life, and I'm going to help you. I'm going to pick your sword back up. I'm going to cover you with my shield of faith. I'm going to cover you. I'm going to put that breastplate of righteousness. I'm going to lend you the belt of truth that I possess and operate in. I see world changers in this place this morning. Don't believe the lies of the enemy. Don't believe what your mom or dad told you. Don't believe what a teacher told you at some point in your life. Don't believe the lie of the enemy in your life. Let everything come from the Word of God. Let this truth, there's no other truth above the Word of God. Don't let it ever slip by you. Don't let it ever fall out of your hands. Place it in its rightful place, deep inside your being. Let it become part of your DNA. Let it be, when people see you, they see truth. When they see you, they see righteousness. When they see you, they see faith. When they see you, they see salvation. When they see you, they see truth. When they see you, they see peace. Because you know in whom your God is. Amen? Amen. This morning, let's bow our heads. If you're struggling with something in your life that the lie of the enemy has come in, and maybe it's come in like a flood, the Bible says that it will, the Spirit of God will raise up a standard and cause you to overcome. If there's somebody in here that has been believing a lie for all their lives, today is your day to be set free. Today is your day to be set squarely in truth again. If that's you, I want you to make your way here. We're going to pray over you. We're going to pray the prayer of faith over you to break that off of your life. Hallelujah. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the power of your word. These lies can be so subtle. These lies can, they can even make sense at some point. You may have agreed with them. But now that you're born again, because you have been set free, God is causing you to be an overcomer. He's calling you to a different life. He's calling you to live higher. He's calling you to have a peace that is not your own. He desires greatly, greatly for you to be restored. Don't miss this chance. Don't miss this opportunity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amy, will you come and help pray? Hallelujah. Bridget, will you come and help pray? Ron, if you want to come and help. Hallelujah. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Transformed means it no longer looks the same as it did. It's completely different. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then, you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. It all starts with the renewing of our minds.
Hallelujah. Father,
we thank you for transformed lives today, transformed minds today. Lord, let this be the day of salvation. Let this be the day of healing. Let this be the day of deliverance. Done in Jesus' name. Done in the name of Jesus. We pull down those strongholds that would raise itself up against the knowledge, against the wisdom, against the power of God. We pull them down in the name of Jesus. Satan, we rebuke you. You no longer have place in our life. You will no longer cause me to live in the shadows. You will no longer cause me to live in shame and regret and remorse and fear and frustration. Father, I repent of my sin. I repent, Father, and I lay it in open shame so that you can come in and flood my life with healing. Hallelujah to your name, Father. Glory to your name, Father. I thank you, Father, for setting me free from strongholds in my life. Thank you for setting me free, Father. I thank you, Father, that 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5 says, "For my weapons that I fight with are not weapons of this world. They are not carnal, but they have divine power to demolish strongholds. For I demolish arguments and every thing that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And I take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Pray that over yourself this morning. I take every thought captive and make it obedient and subservient to Christ. I choose to believe today that I'm a child of God, that I am an overcomer. I choose to believe today that I am a winner either way. Whether I have plenty or whether I'm in want, whether I am sick or in good health, whether I have a lot of money or whether I am poor, I have learned that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And I am persuaded that neither life nor death, neither angel nor demon, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. I thank you, Father, that through your strength and through your word, I have authority over the enemy. I have authority over my situations. I have authority because you gave it to me. Do you know authority is only as good as the one that gave it? Why do we stop whenever we're speeding and there's lights behind us? Because we know that if we run, it's going to be more trouble. Because the authority that was given to that police officer was given by the state. So the authority that is given can only be as good as the authority giver. And the one that has given us the authority is Christ Himself, who says that we are free. We are free, we are free. We are free in Him. We are made whole in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Your blood has covered my sin. Your blood has made a way. Your blood has given me peace. Your blood. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for my salvation. It has made me rich. It has made me whole again. It has brought salvation to my life. Thank you, God, for your peace. Lord, I'll wear that helmet of salvation. I'll strap it tightly, tightly to my chin, that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe there's some of you here this morning that God has called you to a specific thing, and because you have allowed lies in your life, you've chose to believe that lie over the Word. Lord's saying to you this morning, if you repent, He will reestablish that call again in your life. I don't know who that's for, but that's just what was dropped into my spirit. Father, let your call ring in our ears clearly, mightily, in the name of Jesus. Let it cover us. Let it cover us in the name of Jesus. Let it bring deliverance and healing and establish us. And create inside of us a new heart and a new spirit. Let the joy of the Lord fill your heart again. Let it bring peace and restoration. Let it bring healing to your soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Psalms 119, verse 30 through 32, it says, I have chosen the way of truth. I have set my heart on your laws. I hold fast to your statutes, O Lord. Do not let me be put to shame. I run in the path of your commands, for you have set my heart free. Teach me, O Lord, to follow your decrees. Then I will keep them till the end. Give me understanding, and I will keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the depths of your commands, for there I find delight. I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, that you have set my heart free. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for freedom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Could everybody just stand one more time, and we're gonna dismiss. I want to pray over you. I just want to pronounce a blessing over your life before we leave. How many of you guys could use a blessing from God? What I'd like for you to do, just as a sign of faith, is just raise your hands in receiving mode this morning. Father, this morning, I come before you with the flock that you have entrusted to me. And Father, I pronounce a blessing upon their life. I pray, Father, that they would consider your word over any other word. They would consider your truth over things that they see and hear. I pray, Father, that you would bless their homes in Jesus' name. I pray, Father, that if there's confusion in their home, if there's disorder in their home, God, that you would bring order. You would bring blessing. You would bring healing and restoration again in Jesus' name. I pray, Father, that you would bless them in their minds. God, that they would begin to think correctly as children of God and not desperate people. But Father, I just pronounce a blessing over them and their finances and their home and their health and their kids. I pray, God, that your blessing would rest upon them as they serve, as they honor, and as they glorify your name wherever they go. May you bless and keep them. May your word go before them. May your word cover them. And may your word be their strong tower. Father, I pray your presence upon them, God, that no matter where they go, they know you're there. I thank you, Father, for the peace of God now that rests on each and every one. May they be blessed. May they be blessed today in the name of Jesus. Amen. You guys, when you go today, go in the power and the strength of His might. Amen. Knowing that He has caused us to overcome and that He is bringing the victory to us. Amen. Y'all give the Lord hand clap of praise this morning. Any good? Mike, will you turn the lights on back there?